In just a minute, knowing that the presence of God is in this place, we're just letting the Holy Spirit just teach us, guide us, show us how to live life. Because I have to tell you, sometimes life can be difficult, it can be hard. But as we hold on to the Word of God, we hold on to His truths, you're going to realize that God's Word is for you, it's for me. He gave it to us for a reason, so that we may have the abundant life. So if you're ready to receive from His Word, why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and bow our hearts before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father, we come to You now. Our hearts are wide open, ready to receive from You. And I pray, Father, as our hearts are in tune with Your Holy Spirit's voice, whatever You speak to us today, I pray we're going to receive it. We're going to let it sink so deep within our hearts. And we're going to know, Father, that You truly are here. That You want to bless Your children. That You want Your miracles, Your power to be displayed in our lives. So Father, we give this time into Your hands now. We honor You. We praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you take a look at your notes today, the title of my sermon is Strong and Trustworthy Anchors for Life's Stormy Seas. I know it's a kind of long title there, but let me say it again. Strong and trustworthy anchors for life's stormy seas. As we all know, Philippines was recently hit with a massive typhoon. You guys see it in the news, right? Causing severe damage and destruction to many areas of the country. And just so that you know, a typhoon is a severe tropical storm characterized by heavy winds and rain, lightning and thunder, and major flooding, causing devastation wherever it goes. And, you know, so much so that the mayor of Tacloban City, he made a very sad statement to the reporters. He said, "There is no Tacloban City right now. I think God was somewhere else when the typhoon hit. The dead are lining the streets even until now." And he made that statement. I had to scratch my head. I think God is somewhere else. I got to tell you, God is always with us. It's when we start believing that He's not with us, that's where you're going to feel that emptiness. You're going to feel that void. But when troubles hit, we got to hold on to God even tighter. And we say, "Lord, I know You're here for me. Just fill me up even more." You know, many storms are brewing all around us. Not only the literal ones, but also those arising from daily trials and challenges in our lives. Because we're all going to face challenges. We're going to face trials in our lives. But these days, these sources are simply too many. You know, people, they face health problems, financial woes, relationship problems, oppressive people, security worries, and the list goes on and on and on. And no wonder some people, they're so easily shaken and distracted, and they're confused to the point of hopelessness. They say, "Oh, we have no hope. It's only going to get worse." But if you put your faith in God, know that there is always hope, because God is our hope. You trust in Him. God says, "I will turn it around for you. I will show you who I am." I want you to consider the following. A man, he drives to work at 6:30 in the morning, and he's been doing this for 8 years. He punches in his time card, and he's confronted by his supervisor, and his supervisor is not a very nice person. He yells at him and humiliates him over and over about really minor things. And this time, this man, he's disgusted. He's upset. He's frustrated. And he yells back at the supervisor, and he quits. The only problem is he still has like 5 mouths to feed at home, and he can't find another job. Well, you know what? A storm has come. Or a family man who goes to his doctor for a normal routine checkup. He's usually healthy and has no problems, but he's told by his doctor that he has a fatal disease. Well, another storm has just arrived. Or a widow faces an empty house and bed for the first time in 40 years. Guess what? A storm has come. Or parents, they sit on the couch. It's 3 in the morning. Their 16-year-old son has not yet come home. And the fear is that He's probably out drinking with his friends. And as they wait, Dad is sitting on the couch, having another beer, waiting for his son to come home. And you know what? It's another storm, I'm sure, for his wife and for the mother. And you know, we all face storms in life, and some are physical, right? Like tornadoes, floods, earthquakes. Like these are kind of storms that we may face. But we know that even though they come, we got to hold on to God. And some are personal, like death, job problems, soured friendships. These things are all part of life. And the right question is not whether they will come or when, but how we will respond when they do come. Because, you know, when they do come, what you do at that moment will mean everything. It's how you react. It's how you respond. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he faced a life-threatening storm. He was on his way to Rome to see Caesar to stand trial. And for 14 days, the ship he was on was in a raging sea. Can you just imagine going back and forth like this? But it was like raging. So it was more than just this. It was like, I mean, constantly for 14 days. I mean, he was experiencing this. But you know what? Paul, he never panicked. The crew members were the ones who were panicking. But Paul, he stood firm and shared the anchors that held his life secure. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 27. It's not in your notes. I'm going to read it to you. You can just listen along. It's like almost like a captain's report. It's like showing what went on during this time, knowing that Paul, he was enduring a major storm. Let me read it to you. You can just listen. It says here, "But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. The next day, as the gale-force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until all at last hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this danger and loss.' But then Paul says, 'But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me. And he said, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island." And about midnight on the 14th night of the storm, as we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. They dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little later, they measured again and found that it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and to the soldiers, "You will all die unless the sailors stay aboard." So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. And just as day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. "You have been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks," he said. "Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair on your heads will perish." Then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them, and broke off a piece and ate it. Then everyone was encouraged and began to eat, all 276 of us who were on board. After eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. And when morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. And then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed toward shore. But they hit a shoal and ran the ship aground too soon. The bow of the ship stuck fast, while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of waves and began to break apart. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape, but the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land. The others held onto the planks or debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped to safety to shore. I want you to understand these brave sailors, they were in a storm that seemed to be so overwhelming. Have you ever been in a storm like that? Were you ever on a boat or a ship where, you know, it just seems like it's like getting worse? It's just like you're rocking back and forth. You're starting to feel like you're getting woozy, you're getting dizzy, you're ready to throw up all over the place. And sometimes, you know, we're stuck in a situation, it just seems like, man, it's not getting better. I'm turning to God, I'm praying, but nothing's happening. You guys ever felt like in a situation like that? Well, you know what? Persevere. The key word is to persevere. You must keep going to God. But in an effort to save the ship and their lives, they cast four anchors into the sea. But sadly, these anchors proved ineffective against the storm, and the ship was ultimately lost. However, on board that ship was a man named Paul. And he was a special man for several reasons. First of all, he was a child of God. He knew that his Father God in heaven loved him and that he would keep him safe and secure. Number two, he was a man on a mission. He knew God was calling him out to preach the word mightily to the world, to the nations, that Jesus Christ is alive. Well, number three, he was a man of faith. He believed in God for everything. That no matter what happens in your life, you gotta believe that God is there for you. And number four, he was in fellowship with God. He constantly talked to God. He expressed to God how much he loved him, how much he needed him. And you know, those sailors, they threw out four anchors into the sea in an attempt to steady that ship. But these anchors, they failed. You know, as I read this text, I became aware that Paul also, he had four anchors as well. And these anchors steadied him during the storm. Because even though that ship was shaken and battered, Paul, he was able to stand strong. He was able to stand firm because he had strong anchors. Because too many people, they have weak anchors. If you don't know the Lord, if you're in the world, I gotta tell you, you may think you have anchors. You may think, oh, I can rely on my loved one, my spouse, my parents, whoever, my friends. But is it strong enough? Because the Bible says that man can fail you. That's the honest truth. Even though it could be the most loved person in your life, they're just human. We must rely on God, that the Bible tells us He will never fail you. But you must hold on to God. You must hold on to Him tight, because God has strong anchors that will hold in the greatest of storms. Look what it says here in Hebrews 6:19. It's in your notes. It says, this confidence that we have in God is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for where? Our souls. It leads us through the curtain of heaven into God's inner sanctuary. And the same anchors that kept Paul steady on his stormy seas are available to you and for me. Especially on those times when, yeah, it seems like the seas are getting pretty rough. It's pretty stormy out there and it just seems like, man, is it ever going to get better? So what are these strong anchors? I want to talk to you about these anchors that Paul had and that we have available for us too. And as we read it, we know it's from the scriptures. It is for us. Number one here, it says the strong anchor of God's presence. The strong anchor of God's presence. Look what it says here in Acts 27:23. I just read it. It says, for last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And Paul found that even in the midst of the raging storm, he was not alone. That the Lord had come to minister peace to his heart. And you know what? Sometimes we realize God is just a cry away. Something happens when you start going on your knees and just letting your emotions out, and as you cry before the Lord, you know, something happens. It's like a peace from heaven just enters right into your heart, right into your soul. Look at some of the promises from the Word of God. Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is a promise of God. Matthew 28:20, it says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? You are with me. God is with me. And do you have that assurance? Do you have that belief? In your soul, in your heart, that God says, I won't leave you. I'm never leaving you. I'm always here for you, God says. Because it would be a blessing if we could enjoy that manifest presence of the Lord as Paul did. Imagine an angel appeared before him. What if an angel appeared before you and said, it's going to be all right. God is with you. Would that increase your faith? Well, you know what? I know some people have these experiences, but you know what? This is the very fact that you have faith to believe. That's all that matters. You don't need this kind of manifest experience. Just know as you believe, as you trust in God, God will show himself. God will let you know that you're never alone. But even when you cannot see him, God is still there. He's watching, he's leading, he's protecting, he's being our Father God. He's our Daddy God. And he says, I'm not leaving you, child. You may have heard of this man. His name is Dr. Tony Campolo. He's a really well-known Christian author. And he says, as a boy growing up in New York City, in a congested and bustling city, his mother arranged for a teenage girl who lived nearby to walk home with him at the end of the day. And for this teenage girl was paid a nickel. Every day, she walked Tony home. But Tony, he rebelled in the second grade and said, Mom, I'm a little bit too old for this. I'll walk myself home from school. And if you give me a nickel a week, I'll be extra careful. And he says to the mom, you can keep the other 20 cents and we'll be better off. After a period of pleading and begging the mom, the mom said, okay, you can have your way, fine. And for the next 2 years, he walked himself back and forth from school. And it was an 8-block walk. It was pretty far, with many streets to cross, but he was careful. He didn't talk to strangers, and he didn't get distracted along the way. Years later, at a family party, he bragged about his independence, and he told his aunts and uncles and cousins, yeah, you know what I did in second grade? I walked home by myself. And, you know, just showing off, bragging like that. And he said, I took care of myself. And, you know, his mother just kind of laughed. And he added to the rest of the story. And she said, did you really think you were alone? She asked. Every morning when you left school, I left with you. I walked behind you all the way. When you got out of school at 3:30 in the afternoon, I was there. I always kept myself hidden, but I was there. And I followed you all the way home. I just wanted to be there in case you needed me. I want you to understand this. God knows everything about you. He knows every detail about your life. He knows what you're doing. Every minute, every second, he knows. You don't believe me? Look in the scripture. Psalm 139:2-3. Look what it says there. Look what the psalmist writes. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I'm at rest at home. Imagine, you're resting. God's watching you. It says, you know everything I do. And you have to wonder, why is God so concerned about every little detail about our lives? Well, simply put, he cares about you. He loves you. He wants to know everything about you. That is how awesome the love of the Father is. Because that's how you know. You know, even your spouse or your parent, whoever it is, they know every detail about you. Why? Because they care about you. And the scripture tells us our Father God is the same way. He loves us so deeply. Amen? Well, number two here, the next anchor is the strong anchor of the promises of God. And in Acts 27, 24 to 25, it says, and he said, "Don't be afraid, Paul, for you surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, and it will be just as he said." And as Paul weathered that long, terrible storm, the Lord came to him in a precious promise. He reminded Paul that, yeah, you're going to stand before Caesar. It's going to be done. Don't worry. You're going to stand before him. And all those on that ship will be spared as well. So you just let them know. This is my promise to you, Paul. And for Paul, just having that word from God was enough to anchor his soul and give him that blessed assurance. And we got to rest upon the promises of God. Because if you are a believer, you know what the Bible says. It will come to pass. You hold on to that truth and you don't let go. And you say, "Lord, I'm holding on. I ain't going to let go of you." And that promise will come. You must have faith to believe, though. Hold on to that faith and don't let go. Don't be shaken when the storms come. You hold on to God even tighter. And that promise, I tell you, brothers and sisters, that promise will come forth when you trust in him, when you believe in him. And Paul knew that God was a promise-keeping God. God keeps his promises. If you believe that, it's going to happen. So simple. It's just the kind of faith that we have will determine how far we'll go with God. You must keep on believing and don't stop. Romans 4:21, it's in your notes. It says here, what he promises, he is able to perform. And sometimes we forget that. So yeah, he promises it, but can he really do it? Oh yeah, he can. He's God. He created it all. He made the universe. He can do whatever he wants. And if you got the right heart, he will bring it forth. And you know, the word of God is filled with promises. Did you know there are 7,847 promises from God to man? 7,847. I don't know who did the math, who counted the promises, but there are 7,847 promises from God to man. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, in those books in the Old Testament, they have 1,000 promises each. Yeah, go count it. And you see, actually over 1,000. God makes a lot of promises, doesn't he? And he kept every single one of them. And in Psalm 37, I tell you, go and read Psalm 37 when you go home. Just about every verse has a wonderful promise. And if you're feeling a little down or despair, read Psalm 37 and you're going to realize the promises of God stand true in your life. Read Psalm 37. Every verse, there's a promise. You know, I got to tell you about Thomas Jefferson. You guys know who he is. He's one of the president of the United States. And one day he was traveling with a group of companions. And they were going across the country on horseback. And they came to a river that had a bridge that was washed away because of a recent downpour of rain. So there was no bridge. And they stood there right in the shoreline. And they realized they got to make it across. And each rider was forced to go through that river on horseback, fighting for their lives with the rapid currents. Because it was really rapid. It was just like really intense and wild current. And so each rider, they were threatened with a real possibility of death. Because if you get knocked over, oh, you're going to be swept away from the waters. And that's it. Your end, the end of your life will come forth. And so they, one by one, they started going across the river. And there was this one young gentleman, though. He was a traveler that was not part of their group. And he didn't have a horse, but he kind of just stepped aside. And he was kind of watching all this. You know, after several had plunged in and they made it to the other side. Everyone had made it to the other side. The stranger, this young gentleman, asked President Jefferson if he could carry him across the river on his horse. And the president, he agreed without hesitation. He said, "Okay, all right, I'll take you." And the man climbed on, and shortly thereafter, the two of them made it safely to the other side. And as the stranger slid off the back of the horse onto the dry ground, one of the people in the group asked this young stranger. "Excuse me, sir, I just want to ask you, why did you select the president to ask this favor of? Why did you ask President Jefferson?" And you know what? The young man was shocked, because he admitted that he didn't know that this was the president of the United States that had helped him. And you know what he says? He says, "All I know," he said, "is that on some of your faces was written the answer, no." Sometimes you can just see it in a person's face. You want to ask for help, and they're like, you know, just right on the face, right? He's like, "Oh, not me." But then he says, "On some of your faces was the answer, yes." And you just see, just yes. You know, that's all it takes. You don't have to say anything, just yes. And on the face of the president was yes. You know, it just made me think, we can be all confident that Jesus always has a yes face. Because we never seen him, and you know, we never seen a smile that had, you know, come from the face of our Father God. But from what we know about Jesus through reading the scriptures, and from what we know of what we read in the New Testament, we know it's true. Because what a contrast he must have been. Because you got to understand, Jesus, he was surrounded by the teachers of the law, the religious, robed, righteous, law-holding, professional men whose very attitude screamed, "No." Can you just imagine? You're asking for help. They don't have to say no. You just see it on their face. And you know, on the contrary, we only can picture on the face of Jesus as you go to him and you cry out to him, you say, "Help me, Lord." Can you just imagine that warm smile on our Savior's face saying, "Yes, I'm here. I love to help you, child. I love you. I love you so much." That yes that's on the face of Jesus. Because you know, with the teachers of the law, they only had a frown, a big frown that said no. But on our Savior's face, it's always yes. It's always yes. When you go to Jesus, you can just sense the presence of his smile. You guys ever experienced that before? Where you just go to God and you can't see that smile, but you can experience it. You feel it. You know it. That God is saying yes to you. Because look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, "For no matter how many promises God has made," what does it say there? "They are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." It tells us no matter how many promises God has made, they're always yes in what? Christ. You got to really catch this, because sometimes people say, "Yeah, I go to God and God always tells me yes." But then I ask him, "So you believe in his son Jesus?" He says, "No, I just believe in God of the universe." But you know what's important? It says yes in Christ. You know that it's a promise from God. It has to be ended in prayer with a yes in Christ. Because you got to put your faith in Christ. It's in his son Jesus that this promise will come forth. It's only through his son Jesus that the promises will be coming forth in your life. And that's why I tell people, yours end the prayer. Say, "And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray all these things. Amen." Because you know what amen means, right? So be it. That means it's done. Oh, I don't worry. It's done. That's what amen means. It's done. Thank you, Lord. And that's why we got to say it with conviction. We got to say it with heart, knowing that this is a promise from God. Because promises from God's word make a strong anchor in the stormy seas of life. And you got to say it with a heartfelt amen. Amen? All right. Number three, it says here, the strong anchor of the plan of God. The strong anchor of the plan of God. Look what it says in Acts 27, 24 and 42. It says, and he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure that they didn't swim across shore and escape. And the angel of the Lord ministered to Paul and told him it was God's plan for him to go to Caesar and that everyone on board would be spared. Verse 42 says the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners because they were afraid that they might swim away and escape. But God's plan was for everyone to live. And if God says it, you better believe it. Do not doubt it. Jeremiah 29:11 says in your notes, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for a hope and for a future. He has a plan for everyone who believes. And if you say, Lord, I want to be on your plan. If you say, I believe in you, God says, okay, here's, I laid it out for you, my child. Walk in it and watch the blessings that will come forth. And if you're ready, you're willing, his plans will take fruit as you keep walking with him. Because you know, Paul, he had a purpose. Even though he was in the storm of his life, he knew he was living for Christ. He was a prisoner, yes, but he still had a purpose. And you kind of wonder, if you're locked up in prison, what's your purpose? What can you do? And he knew his purpose was to share the good news with Caesar. Man, can you imagine going to someone on the high ups as Caesar and telling him about who Jesus Christ is? Wow, he had a big task. But this man named Carlyle Thomas, he's a Scottish philosopher. He was quoted in saying, this is what he says, the man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. You know what a rudder is? You know that blade under the ship, you know, that kind of propels like that? It makes a ship go forward. Just imagine a ship that doesn't have a rudder. What would that ship do? Nothing. It'll just go in a circle, right? There's no way it's going to move. It's just going to be floating and drifting. There's no ambition. There's nothing that will happen. And sometimes, as Christians, we can be a ship without a rudder because it's the Holy Spirit that will propel us to move forward with God. Amen? And we got to hear from the Holy Spirit. As you hear from him, you're going to move firmly, securely. You're going to be going on a steady sail towards God's blessings. But you must hear from the Holy Spirit. You must believe in him. Because it says, the man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. He's a waif. You know what a waif is? W-A-I-F? It's a stray animal. Stray animal that doesn't have any home, doesn't have any place to go. And he says, this man is nothing, a no man. It says, have a purpose in life and having it, throw such strength of mind and muscle into your work as God has given you. He says, go with it, with your all. Go with it, with God. You may have heard of this man named David Berkowitz. You guys heard of him? He was also known as the son of Sam. Now you know who he is, right? Who I'm referring to. He was a serial killer in the 1970s, and he had brutally murdered 6 people in New York City, and he left 7 people severely wounded. But you know what? In prison, did you hear about this? He became a born-again Christian. And you know how it happened? A fellow inmate gave him a Bible. And he was just looking at this, what is this? But you know, he says, he shares this. He says he was extremely touched by a scripture verse that transformed his life. You know what that scripture verse was? It's in your notes. In Psalm 34:6, it says here, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This is the very verse that touched the son of Sam's heart. But you know what? When he did accept Christ, he no longer wanted to be referred as a son of Sam. He says, no, I'm not the son of Sam. I'm the son of hope. That's what he says. I am the son of hope because my hope is in Christ. Oh, powerful testimony, let me tell you. And you know, in 2007, he had a parole hearing and he said, I refused my parole. You know what he stated? He says, in all honesty, I believe that I deserve to be in prison for the rest of my life. I have, with God's help, long ago come to terms with my situation, and I have accepted my punishment. And you know what? To this day, he's still in prison, but he holds Bible studies every day for the inmates, and he counsels them with the Word of God. Does he have a purpose in life? You better believe it. Just because you're stuck in a situation, storms all over you, all over the place. No, God still has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. You keep moving forward towards God. Don't stop. Keep moving towards the very one that can bless you, that can bring forth restoration in your life. Because in the midst of our storms, we must continue to do the work that God called us to do, because there's a lot of work to do. And the Bible clearly tells us the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Are you going to go out and be the one that tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ? Because the workers are few. We must make a decision. Am I going to live for Christ? Look what it says here in Romans 9:21. It's in your notes. It says, does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for what? Special purposes and some for common use? I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, we have special purposes in our life. And some of them we have common special purposes. And I believe one of them is to share His Word. To tell people about the good news about Jesus Christ. Because if we don't use this, guess what? We're going to put it to waste. All of us are called to speak it. To tell people that truly Jesus Christ is alive. And that He's for you and that He's for me. You know, the story goes of a rich man who was determined to give his pastor a birthday present that would outshine all others. Because he said, I love my pastor. I want to get him something really special. And so this wealthy man, he read about a bird in this magazine. And this bird was very special because this bird could speak both Greek and Hebrew. Unreal. And he could recite, I'm talking thousands of scriptures from the Bible. And this wealthy man says, this is it. I'm going to get my pastor this bird. Oh, he's going to be so impressed with this. And he immediately bought the bird for $50,000. And you know, he had it delivered to the pastor. And, you know, he was so excited. And the next day, he phoned the pastor to see if he received the bird. And the man asked the pastor, so what did you think of the bird? He asked. And the pastor replied, oh, it was delicious. Can you see? You know, I'm sure if it was delicious, you know, I mean, that would be good for the pastor, right? But imagine, what a waste. Knowing how many lives you could have touched if you opened your mouth and told someone about the love of God. Imagine, this person's life could have been just turned around, but you said, no, I don't have the time. No, it's not for me. It's for the pastor. It's for the leader. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to do anything. Imagine the waste. If God calls you to open your mouth and speak the goodness of who He is, don't hold back. And sisters, because let me tell you, I've seen it. I've seen what the Word of God can do when a person takes it and says, Lord, I'm living for you. I've seen the transformation. I've seen the miracles. We've seen it too, I'm sure. As the Word of God is preached, oh man, things happen and miracles come forth. And we cannot put it to waste, brothers and sisters. We must speak it as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen. Well, number four here, it says the strong anchor of God's power. The strong anchor of God's power. You can write power there. And in Acts 27:44, it says the others held onto the planks or debris from the broken ship. So everyone escaped safely to shore. So everyone, they were okay. God said, hey, they're taken care of. You're taken care of. And Paul just simply believed. And it did happen. But you know, only the power of God is strong enough to be your anchor in the midst of the storm. You must only go to God. You can go to your loved ones, but make sure first and foremost it's God. Let Him be the anchor to your soul, that you will not waver, that He will make sure you're steady and firm, sailing towards the very presence of God that will give you what you need to live victoriously. Because nothing else, no one else is strong enough. Because if I'm in a storm, I want to be anchored on the strong power of the one that can calm the winds and the waves. Jesus is the one that can do it. And God is able to work it all out. He will get you through your storm and land you safely on the land that will give you solid ground. You know it will come to pass. Because it seems like you've been on this moving sea and you're getting sick of this. You're just moving back and forth and you're just wondering, oh man, when am I going to get off of this? You must remember, God knows what you're going through. And if you hold on to God, He will take you out of that storm. He will take you out of that sea that's making you seasick. He will make sure you're taken care of. Because it may look like your boat is sinking. So for some of us, I know people have told me, no, my boat is sinking, Pastor. I don't know if God really cares about me anymore. It may look like the storms of life are going to prevail. You know, but when the waves have eventually settled down, and when the winds have ceased their blowing, and when the rains have stopped, when the storm clouds have moved off into the horizon, you see that God was in control all along. Don't you realize that? After the storm, you kind of go, oh, I see what God was doing. Because I experienced storms in my life, and there were times I said, where's God? But then when I look back, I was going, oh, I see what God was doing. I didn't understand it at the time, but God was moving. God was working. Amen. And with this comes a promise that no storm in this life will be able to blow you off course. Doesn't matter how strong this wind is. No matter how violent it is. You cannot be blown off course as long as your strong anchor is God's power. Amen. And the whole thing about this, you got to keep going to God. You got to keep on saying, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Don't stop. Because God knows that your heart is for Him. Look what it says in Jeremiah 32:17. It says, for you have made the heavens by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. In Ephesians 3:20 it says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that is work within us. I want you to understand, when you go to God, you ask for something. You know, I know sometimes people say, oh, okay, God will give me what I want. And sometimes, you know, the person will say, well, if God just gives me half of what I ask for, I'll be happy. Well, no, the scripture says He'll give you abundantly, exceedingly what you ask for. But you got to make sure your soul is anchored to the one that can bring it. Amen? You got to make sure you're going to keep going to God. You know, I got to tell you, I remember when I was in the eighth grade, I was a JPO. You know what a JPO is? Who knows what a JPO is? Well, what is that? Junior police officer. I got to tell you, I remember really young, I told my mom, I want to be a policeman. And when I got the title junior police officer, I was so proud of myself, you know. And I remember as a JPO, it was my duty to direct traffic, right? And basically, I just held a stop sign. And when, you know, the leader blew the whistle, I had to stick in front of the car and made the car stop so the students could cross the street. And, you know, I was so proud being a JPO. But I remember at the end of the year, there was a JPO picnic. It was for all the JPOs from all over Hawaii. And we all gathered together to meet, you know, to play outdoor games and activities. It was so fun. But, you know, the most popular event was the six-man tug of war. And, you know, there was this group of students who beat just about every other team. And I wasn't on the team because I was skinny and scrawny. And nobody wanted to be on that, you know, tug of war, you know. But I cheered on my classmates. And, you know, on the other team, there were these six husky kids. They're only 13 years old now, but they had like muscles popping out of their arms. And I was going, they're only 13 years old. And I'm looking at me, what happened to me, God? But you know, you look at that and you know what? All the difference in this team was yeah, all of them, they were kind of stocky and all that. But it was the kid on the end. Because you know what their position is called, right? When you're playing tug of war, they're called the what? The anchor man. The anchor man. And you see this kid, he's like 6'2", 6'3". He's 13 years old. And he's like big brother. A big boy, man. And I was looking, whoa, this guy's 13 years old. And you know what? He just stood there. I remember he got the rope, right? He tied it around his waist. You know, you tie a knot like that. He goes like this. Kind of cocky, I know. But he was confident because he's big, right? And you can see as the referee says, ready, go! And then you see on the other team, the other students, you know, like going all at it, you know, you see their face turning all red, they're sweating. And you can see the other team, the big guy, just standing there, just pulling, but he says, and you see all his teammates, they're just smiling. They're just like, we got this guy here. And you can see they were relaxed. They were at peace. Because you know what? You couldn't budge him. This anchor man stood firm. And the teammates only just gave minimal effort. And finally, when the big guy got tired, he says, okay, I'm getting a little bit tired. Ready, guys? Wham! And you see the whole other team just flying across the line, you know? And you go, oh. And just he did that just about for every other team. And it made me think about Jesus when he was on the boat. I want you to look what it says here in Luke 8, 23 to 24. It says here, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. Who's he? Jesus. He was on the boat with his disciples and he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and Jesus is still sleeping. And they awoke him saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And then Jesus kind of just got up. Oh, a storm. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And then what happened? The water ceased. And there was a calm. There was peace. Because Jesus is God. He simply spoke to it and it was no more. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, there are going to be times in life when storms come. And you're going, you're struggling. Man. You're giving it your all, but you're not getting anywhere. Sometimes you gotta stop. Bible says, be still. You know that he is God. Sometimes you just gotta look back and realize Jesus is out there. He's 49 for you. And just like the other teammates, when you realize Jesus is your anchor man, you just relax. And I've got my back on. Okay, worry. Sometimes we got to do that. Got to be still and know that God, He will show Himself strong. He will bless your life. I want to show you this video. It's very powerful. When I first saw it, it really touched my heart. Because you know, there are times in life when it seems like the storm doesn't want to go away. The storm just remains. And you're wondering, how long, Lord? I don't want this storm. But you know what? When you're focused on the storm, that's when the storm seems like it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Don't let it, brothers and sisters. Focus on the one that can restore you, that can deliver you. Can you go ahead and roll that video, please? catch that last verse there? It's in Nahum 1:3. It's in your notes. It says, "The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished." It says, "His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." And you kind of think about that. What does that mean? His way is in the whirlwind and the storm. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, there are times in which God used the storms in our lives to get to the hearts of men. He will allow this storm to happen, but realize he's still with you. He loves you. And the storm must come because he must get to your heart. And the worst thing to do during this time is to say, "Lord, you don't love me anymore. Lord, forget you." Brothers, sisters, I've done that. I'll be honest with you. Times in my life where I said, "Lord, you've forgotten me. Where are you?" But I held on to God. And I said, "God, I got nowhere else to go, but I got you." And when I held on, God showed himself strong. God restored me. God made me brand new. Yes, his way is in the storm. It's in the whirlwind. But let me tell you, God never leaves. He's in it with you. And as you hold on to him, he will not let you be blown away. No, no way. He will not let you be blown away. He's going to make sure you are standing on secure ground. But you must trust in him. You must believe in him. Because he's your Father God. And he loves you very, very much. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we let him bow our hearts before our Lord God and King. Let's come before our Father God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And we praise your most holy name, Father, knowing that, Lord, that you are a sure anchor, a strong anchor that holds in life's stormy seas. As we trust in you, as we believe in you, we can be assured that you will never leave us, that you will come forth and let your power and miracles be displayed as we trust in you. And just like in that young man in that video, it seems like there are times that we're trying everything on our own. We're using an umbrella, a newspaper, a sweater with holes in it, thinking it can cover us, it can give us some comfort. It may for a while, but we know, Father, it's not everlasting. It's your peace that is everlasting. It's your peace, your strength that will come as we cry out to you. As we look to you with our whole being, you will come in strong. And we praise you, Lord, knowing that you do this because you love us so much. And I just pray right now, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you may say, "You know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize, you know what, there are times I don't really trust in God fully, that he's not my anchor. I turn to others. I turn to my spouse, my parents, my children, or whoever it is. Not realizing you're the only anchor that can secure my soul." And if you're saying right now, "Father, just take my whole heart. I want you to be the only anchor that will keep me steady and strong in my faith in this walk with you." And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you're saying, "Lord, have your way in my life. I want you to be the only anchor to my soul." If that's truly the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand and say, "That's me. Lord, be the anchor to my soul." Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, "Lord, come in. Be the anchor to my heart." Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But more importantly than anything, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, "Lord, have your way. Be the anchor to my heart, to my soul. That I know, Lord, no matter what comes in my life, you will make sure I'm kept safe. I can surely stand on solid ground, knowing that you're the one that will sustain me. You're the one that will bring forth the victory in my life.
Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, let your holy presences fall upon your people right now. Let your sweet presences come forth, Lord, as only you can, Lord. Let your sweet presence come and fill the hearts of my brothers and sisters in this building right now. As the church, Lord, we cry out to you. In the name of Jesus, holy presence of God, fill this entire place right now. Father, we believe in you. We trust you, Lord. We praise your most holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I heard about people talking about having a relationship with God,
with His Son Jesus. What must I do? How do I get started?
We can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you're ready to receive from God, don't wait another day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, knowing that the Lord wants to come in today and do some wonderful miracles in your life. But you must surrender to Him to be welcomed into His family. And if you're ready, you're saying, yes, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. Right now, I know the Holy Spirit is touching my heart. And if you are ready and you're willing, you say, Lord, all of me for you. Can you raise your hand right now and say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Praise God. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together. Really mean it. Let it come from your heart. Let's pray together as a family. Can you just repeat after me? Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him, and I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory to God. Yeah.
Still high.